Our scripture today comes from Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, NRSV. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." God bless you, Janet, as you speak to us on "Very Many Dry Bones Breathed."
Thank you, Shelby. And thank you, Sophia, for using the other passage about dead bones living. Lazarus, dead and coming alive. It is a privilege to be here with you this morning, and it feels like a long time, or a little while at least, since I've given any message here or elsewhere, so I feel a bit trembly in my knees. Maybe that should be normal on a sermon about dry bones. So I wondered if Ezekiel ever felt that way. In any case, it's really good to be sharing with you this morning. I have very dry skin, always. Whenever I take a shower, I rub lotion on my feet, my legs, my arms, my face, my hands, and sometimes frequently throughout the day. And sometimes at night, I even ask Wes to rub lotion on my back. I think it's a family condition. Even so, my skin flakes off dry skin. So I think I legitimately wondered what dry bones would feel like. Well, I didn't spend too much time thinking about that. I'm not ready for my bones to be dried, dead, and for sure not spread out in a valley with thousands of other dry bones. Anyway, I found myself wondering where all those bones came from. Anyway, oh, that's right, it was just a vision. But visions rattle in our heads sometimes, I think. Visions of skeletons I asked Wes if he could get me some sticks to rattle, and he made this fancy skeleton. So he's definitely part of the morning sermon. So when you want to think of the dry bones rattling, you could just come up and rattle this some more. Creativity, don't you think? Is it facing you so you can see its dry bones? Okay, so dry bones. This is surely the most famous of all Ezekiel's visions. And I found myself wondering, but I'll leave you answer this for yourselves, why it is associated with Lent or Easter or Pentecost, especially in every, or basically in every one of the 3-year lectionary reading cycles, if you follow those cycles. And which of us would like to think about encountering dry bones scattered through a valley? Was it just a smattering or a deep covering, like knee-deep? Did a valley floor full of dry bones make walking through them difficult? Would you, if it would have been you, wonder whose bones are these? And how long have they been there? Oh yeah, again, I have to remember, this is just a vision. But dreams and visions can be pretty real sometimes, as we probably all know. Ezekiel was prophesying in the 6th century BC, and he reports that he was brought out by the Spirit of the Lord and sat down in the middle of this valley full of dry bones. There were very many bones lying in the valley, and they were very dry. Thank goodness, right? Could he walk around them? Did he have to step on them? And I keep wondering, how deep were they? Ankle deep? Knee deep? Maybe he couldn't even tell. Were they connected to each other? Like the song and the melody that is surely running through our heads. Dem bones, dem dry bones. Toe bone connected to the foot bone connected to the heel bone connected to the ankle bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. Oh dear, you made me sing it by myself. The vision begins, as do all of the 4 visions of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me. If you look at the first verse, which you had heard read, the hand of the Lord came upon me. This is in comparison to his other speeches and prophecies throughout the book, where he begins, the word of the Lord came to me. Like in the next chapter, if you look at 38:1, the word of the Lord came to me. Mortal, set your face toward Gog, etc. I wondered if the hand of the Lord on him felt heavier. Or heavier. We already mentioned that this is the 6th century BC. In the midst of this century, in 587, Jerusalem fell to Nebuchadnezzar. But 10 years before that, Ezekiel had been taken into exile, along with other prominent Judahites. He was both priest and prophet. He'd been born into a priestly family and had followed the ritual requirements to work as a priest. In exile, other Judahites consulted with him on a regular basis. It seemed he had significant stature in that expatriate community and was apparently then commissioned as prophet after he was already in exile. It's also interesting to note that scholars could ascertain many of the dates fairly accurately by Ezekiel's own date keeping. I'd like to read the first 3 verses of chapter 1, Ezekiel 1, 1 to 3, as an example of his date keeping. In the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the river Chebar, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, it was the 50th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord came to the priest Ezekiel, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was on him there. If you were a historian or trying to reconstruct, you would certainly find verses like that helpful. He made record keeping more or less easy, or easier. In today's text, the first words are, "The hand of the Lord came upon me." Ezekiel is taken out by the Spirit into the middle of a valley of very dry bones. And I'm sure you can again hear in your head, "Dem bones, dem bones, dem dry bones." In Ezekiel's time, to touch dead bones was to desecrate oneself and remain unclean for 7 days. But this is a vision, and God commands Ezekiel to prophesy to those dry bones and demand that they hear the word of the Lord and then announce to them their impending revivification. They will be bound bone to bone, and breath will come into them, and they will live. So he did. He was transported to the valley by the Spirit of the Lord, and he prophesied as he was commanded to do. Today's passage feels all too appropriate, perhaps, for our current context here among us, in our nation, on our planet. How shall we then breathe and live? Lent is a season, an opportunity for us to try to look at life without blinders or excuses, as much as possible, to see life as it is, in all its wondrous chaos and tragic beauty, to confront our own limitations, sin, mortality, their impact on our lives and the world. We all are dust, and we will return to dust. We are finite, and our finiteness is the source of creativity and fear. We are sinful, and sin leads us to separation from God, from others, from our own destiny. But that is not the last word. There is grace and transformation in the midst of moral and spiritual limitations that we face at every level. How do we grab onto that grace and be transformed? Dry bones dancing stagger the imagination. In the midst of our journey toward Jesus' death, which we will celebrate in a few weeks, and our own death someday, resurrection dangles before us and bursts forth, and we are challenged to expect the unexpected and awaken to a world of wonders, even though not everything happens as we wish it would. As I ponder Ezekiel's vision, I think about it in light of the fears and the hopes of the nation of Judah. Will that nation, whose leadership is exiled in Babylon, ever rise again? Will Jerusalem, the city of God, be restored or remain in ruins? But if that's all it's about, a hopeful story from 2,500 years ago, then why bother to read it and reread it again? It also speaks about the current state of Christendom and our own planet. It's about our nation and the nations of the world, led often by leaders who place financial profits and national and personal reputation ahead of the wisdom of prophets like Ezekiel and the well-being of the most vulnerable citizens and immigrants. Where there is plenty of violence, incivility, destabilization, we might all ask, will our nation as we have known it through history survive? And considering our world's obliviousness to environmental issues, the global impact of viruses and disease, the hopelessness of the most destitute, the violence all around us, and more, will our planet and our cultures survive? On a smaller scale, but maybe closer to us. Though it may seem unimportant these days in the larger scheme of things, will Christianity survive? And will our own Anabaptist congregations survive in this era of unsettledness? This too is of concern, as many churches have smaller in-person attendance and seem to have lost younger families and single people. Will they come back? And can we respond in ways that help build community and nurture our spirits in challenging times? I don't see our congregation smaller today, though. That's wonderful. The death of old ways is always apparent, but do new things arise? And what will they be? Will the dry bones in our congregations come back to life? Will new life arise and be encouraged to break forth? Such emergence can only come through the Spirit breathing new life into all of us, into all of our dry bones, causing us to rise up, maybe even rattle, and dance. Let's have faith. Only God's Spirit will revive us, energize us, continue to build us up and empower us. Let these dry bones live. Let whatever bones are within us that are dry live and dance for joy. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, you are present within us and among us. Touch our own dry bones gently. Bring us newness of life daily, even if it's a little bit at a time, in the rest of this Lent season, till we again, once again, celebrate your resurrection on that coming Easter day. We pray all of these things in your name. Amen.